Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Doing a volume check. Do I sound faint?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. So the assignment from yesterday, what do you need in order to be happy? Get picky with this one. Give details. Elaborate. Carry on at length. Draw pictures. Name names. Record and listen. So here is our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Oh, goodness. You sound good. I sound good. Now we just need a caller.
Oh. I was on mute. This is Christina again, calling from a different source, so you didn't recognize me, but I was on yesterday.
Okay.
<I am.
laughs> Yes. Well, how are you doing today?
It is a beautiful day. I'm on vacation, so let me just say it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. On every level. Gorgeous on every level.
Yeah, that is so true. Yes.
All right. Well, anything new to report?
No, just that yesterday's call for me was so powerful. I had the opportunity to listen to it again, and this practice is it's completely changed my life, and every day I'm reminded of that, it seems, and I'm just super appreciative. So thank you so much. And this is what makes me happy. You know, if we look at the question today, it makes me happy to be leading such an open, loving, compassionate life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, starting right here.
Yeah. And, yep, there you are on vacation. I'm guessing you took your family with you.
Actually, it's just my husband and I.
Oh, very, very nice. Well, yes, and there again, you know, we see what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate does to so many lives, relationships, parent-child relationships, and to see how the work that you're doing is resulting in a kind, loving, compassionate, just right there. Forget, you know, what else you might be doing in the world, but just right there in your own home with your own family to see the results of conscious, compassionate awareness in action. It's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it?
It really is. And I think one of the callers yesterday talked about, you know, just getting steered on this path. You know, we're not doing it just somehow. I got lucky enough that somebody handed me one of your books, really, I think it was 11 or 12 years ago, and I read it, and I was like, I don't know what this woman's talking about, but she didn't tell me how to get to where I want to go, like, you know, what is this?
We need some truth in advertising here.
Right. Where's the plan?
Uh-huh.
And that just started it for me, so. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, you have a lovely time, and take good care of yourself, huh?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Christina. Go happy.
Go happy. Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, I don't actually know how old Christina's children are, but I think they've been raised within the context of parents who are doing awareness practice, which has to be a tremendous gift for everybody.
Indeed. All right, let's hear from another caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Barbara from Southern California.
Hello, Barbara.
Well, this is interesting that Christina's talking about, or you were just mentioning, her children and how lucky for them to be raised in a family where people are doing awareness practice. Because one of the big things that came up for me that I think I need to be happy is for my daughter to figure out how to end the massive suffering that she goes through in her life. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with this because I know, you know, like all these other exercises we've been doing, when I answer from center, there's nothing wrong and everyone is fine. And right. And yet there are still things that really catch me, like
yep.
watching her suffer
yep.
and knowing, seeing exactly why she suffers, because
yep.
she's going through all the stuff that I was going through and still am going through, of course, but more so before I came to practice. And
yep.
it's like so tempting to jump in there and say, if only you
yep.
do this. You know, I
yep.
know what, I know how you can stop suffering. Just do this. And yet I know.
Mother really does know best.
Yes, yes. And yet I know she's got to find for herself. And I should really,
right.
you know, pay her the compliment of thinking that she is adequate to her own life. And most of the time I can do that, at least.
And so
you know,
what do you think would, and I know you know the answer to this, so what is the one thing that you actually can do for her?
Well, this is kind of where I get stuck, I guess, because sometimes I know when I'm centered myself, I know I can just be there with her and just, you know, listen to her and love her and, you know, not have any expectations and just, you know, just support her as best I can.
You're kind of skirting around it. You're close. You're warm. Okay.
Okay.
But let me suggest this. Let me suggest this and see how it feels.
Okay.
You can end your suffering.
Ah.
Because you know, Barbara, you're still the mother.
Right.
It doesn't actually matter. I mean, I work with a lot of people who are, you know, decades old. And they still are dealing with parental issues.
Uh-huh.
You know, even when the parent has been dead for decades, they're dealing
uh-huh.
with parental issues. So you're still the mother, and your daughter is still, I mean, as long as we're lucky enough that our children want to have a relationship with us,
right.
you're still her mother. And so if you do the work of ending suffering there, she has
uh-huh.
a role model. Now,
uh-huh.
everything else that you would want to come as a result of that, you can just be with her. You can be the equivalent of a reflective listening buddy. She never has
uh-huh.
to know it, but you just listen. You're unconditionally loving and accepting. You know, all of those things that we would like to be will happen when you have done the work that you so want her to do.
Right, right.
So that's the best thing we can do for our loved ones. Let them know. Not tell them, because nobody wants to be told.
Right.
let them see that you are doing this and you have done this. And then she knows that it's possible. Now, she may still find her own way. You know, she might not want to do the practice that you do. That's fine. We don't care.
Right.
As long
right.
as people, right, as long as people are working out their own salvation and ending suffering, how they do that, we can just applaud.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause basically, you know, with your kids, you just want them to be happy, to
That's
to
right.
fulfill their own lives however they see
That's
fit
exactly
to do that.
Right.
Right.
Yes. And it's not easy to stay in a place where we can remember that, right? Because,
That's true.
Because
That's
we care so deeply, right? Because we care so much. And somebody says something, you know, one of the kids says something, and inside you're just going, oh, my God, that is the worst okay. idea I've ever heard. That's a disaster. And so
exactly.
to be able to be in a place of there's nothing wrong, there isn't a problem, it's all okay when you know that in the deepest parts of your being, then you can be there with somebody as they work their way through however they need to work through their lives.
Right. Right. That's the thing I have to keep.
We all do, Barbara.
Foremost.
We all
yes.
do. We all do. You're not alone in this. We don't even have to have, a person doesn't even have to have kids to have the same obligation, right? So,
right.
So there we are. Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's part of it, too, because as you let her know, just in a conversation, the way we can do, especially with adult children, the process that you're going through, that she's watching all of that happen. She doesn't need you to just appear one day in a perfected state. That doesn't help anybody, right? So watching you go through it and being vulnerable to her and being prepared that she might want to give you some advice, Mom, and to be able to be open to that and accept it and, you know, all of that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is she has taught me more about unconditional love than any other person or event in my life.
Yeah.
You know, having
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the whole point of children, as far as I can tell.
I think so. Yeah, I think so, too. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
it's very
you,
helpful.
Barbara. Okay,
thank
good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Barbara. You know, Sherry, that reminds me of the Conscious Compassionate Action blog, where that place of open-heartedness and compassion that we go to when we witness that which we love being tortured by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, that is evidence of our caring and the motivation to end suffering for ourselves so that we are more and more able to be in that place rather than in a place of judgment.
Yeah. So that we really can be a difference in the world. Not just have a lot of opinions about how other people should be, but really be living the difference that we know is possible for all of us to the best of our ability at any point in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, to the best of our ability at any point in our lives. And it's one of those places where I think the cruelty of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is visible because it takes the caring and uses it as a distraction. You know, if I love somebody, I so want them to have a different life experience, which is the perpetuation of suffering, wanting it to be different than it is for me.
Yeah. In fact, we were kidding about it yesterday. In another retreat, even another retreat than the retreat that we're on. We've got many parallel retreats going here. And we were going to that thing that I understand in Japan, the way they cheer at an event is do your best. So it's not cheering for your favorite to beat out everybody else, but cheering in the hope that everyone will do their best, whatever that is, and then be able to celebrate that as a victory. And that's really what we want for people. Everybody's doing their best. We want everybody to know that they're doing their best, right? Because there's no room for self-hate if we can get to that place of, I am doing my best, and as soon as I can do better, I will.
Oh, and what I hear you say in that is that when I recognize that place of wanting someone to stop suffering, instead of that orientation, to flip to the orientation of celebrating the fact that everyone's doing their best, switches a place of negativity in me to appreciation and adequacy of all life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. All right, here we go. Here's our next caller.
Right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Lorraine in Connecticut.
Hey, hello,
Lorraine. What
Hi.
Are you up to?
Happy to be back in the queue.
Good. And, happy to have you.
When we were on retreat together recently in guidance, I was sharing with you something I was seeing about how the conditioning to just unconsciously see the process of that ego's big thing is doing, and that a big doing of ego is, you know, figuring out this problem or getting rid of the way I'm feeling because I don't want to be feeling this way. And mm-hmm. you said in guidance that because I had seen through it, I was going to see it everywhere now, and I am.
Yeah. It's handy and helpful and kind of alarming, isn't it?
Yes. I basically have been seeing it in every assignment this past week. And so I saw it with this one today about, you know, what do I need to be happy? And I saw it a few days ago when we were looking at, you know, what is the most loving, compassionate thing I could do for myself right now? And from center, it was so clear that the answer to that was just that question of, you know, what is the most loving, you know, be here and just asking that question and being in that open place. And then, you know, and then looking at, well, what keeps me from that? Well, it's just this constant unconscious process going on that's like, well, no, I have to figure this out, or I have to get rid of this feeling that I don't like instead. And
what you're seeing, I'm projecting, is that in the same way, the answer to that question is being with the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you need to be happy? Well, I need to be here looking at being happy, and then I'm happy.
Yes.
And in the same way, that process of trying to get out of how I'm feeling is how I'm feeling, which is dissatisfaction, something wrong. That's how that's created and maintained.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That one process doesn't lead to another. That's the nugget that you're seeing, right? All we get is what we're doing right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting to see yesterday. So I was making a recording about the assignment, you know, what do you need to be happy? And, you know, it is my experience. I was talking from my experience, which is that, you know, when I'm in the process of recognizing that life is so good and I'm here to appreciate everything that's in it, then I'm just grateful and happy. I mean, that's it. And I made that recording because that's my experience. And yet I only had that experience yesterday while I was making that recording. I spent a lot of the day in anxiety because there was some content that had hooked me yesterday. And so it was just so interesting to see that when I went to make the recording and I was recording and listening, that was just there, that, yep, life is good, and I'm happy when I'm appreciating that. And then I was conscious for that, and then there was all this unconscious anxiety for a good part of the day.
Yeah. Which, again, you know, for conditioning, that we're meant to frame that as a mistake, and, you know, it shouldn't have happened, and if you were the right person, of course it wouldn't, and all that nonsense. But in looking at it the way you are, it's just obvious that you've got to have those experiences in order to recognize those experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're not confused about what would have made all of that unconscious time better. It's not that you need to be a different person and improve and figure out how to. All you need to do is be present. Right? Now, we say all, right, and I understand. It's easy to say. But,
right.
But it is helpful when we know what the answer is. So now, if I didn't know what the answer is, then I'm still flailing around in the dark listening mm-hmm. to ego try to help me figure it out. But once we know where we're headed, then it's a completely different process.
Yes, and one without self-hate, because I so see now that it's unconscious. I mean, it's not me. I'm not choosing to be. I mean, I guess I'm unconsciously choosing it, like we say in our daily recitation. But it's totally unconscious. So there's no reason to have any self-hate about it. It's just
that's right.
I'm not here. So
that's
right. Yeah.
And so what you're practicing is to be here more, because you know that's the way not to spend a day in unconscious anxiety, which mm-hmm. I just think that is not good for the body, is it? That's a talk about getting to the end of the day and being wiped out, right? And so what you're going to do going forward is commit to more and more times, places, ways that you can check in and be sure you're here.
Yes. Yeah, and I woke up this morning with some of the anxiety that was here yesterday, and then also some physical pain, and so there was that there, but then there was also some presence, like I had my eye on it, and I was just sort of like just on the edge of watching it, and then it dropped in, like, because I could feel the anxiety building, like, what am I going to do today to deal with this pain, to deal with this anxiety, and then it dropped in, like, I'm going to do anything it takes to be here and take care of myself today. Like, no expectations about the day. Like, no rules about how I have to feel or what I'm going to do. And even just, like, hearing that message, I had so much instant relief, because it was like, oh, I'm not going to be stuck with conditioning all day with this, because I'm going to be here.
Yeah, exactly, because that would make anybody anxious. I'm going to spend the day in conditioned mind. That would send you right back to bed, right?
Yeah.
So, yes. So if we imagine, well, whatever, you know, she sprained her ankle or, got, I don't know what, a horrible case of the hiccups. You know, you're going to spend the day taking the best care of her that you can, and being present and open-hearted and there with everybody else. That's our assignment every day, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Lorraine.
Gacho.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Gacho.
It's such an embodiment of the short recitation, right, Sherry? I see what causes me to suffer. I have no self-hate about it, knowing that it is a choice of attention, and then I choose to put my attention on where I stop suffering, which is such a relief, not on conditioned mind, which is the process that's going to make me anxious about whatever the day is going to hold, but here for every moment of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and again, no expectations, right?
No
standards, no judgments, no, I'm gonna do the best I can. You know, I've been doing a Russian language course for the last year, and now I'm going to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to have an expectation that I'm going to know what everybody's talking about, that I'm going to be fluent, and I'll just dash around there without a problem. No, it's going to be a big practice adventure.
Mm-hmm. There's no suffering in it. That what I'm
right.
not choosing is to have that attention on the process of judgment, etc. I'm just going to be here for whatever it is,
and enjoy all of it. This is a human being's life, and I happen to be that human being. So here we go.
So there. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I heard the echo, so I guess you can hear me.
Yes. We can both hear you, huh? We can all hear you.
I guess so. Well, I called in because I haven't called in a while and because I really didn't want to call in. Oftentimes when I listen...
You really want to call in.
Well, yeah, conditioning doesn't really want to call in. And part of it is, to be honest, is because I like to cook during this during the half hour. And what I hear is, no, I should sit down and be completely and totally focused just in the radio show. And I do think that is the ideal way to do it, but that hasn't been what I'm doing. So I'm like, oh, I don't deserve to call in as a result.
You can see that's not a good deal, huh?
Well, I decided, I guess I did to see it. Well, I guess I did see it because I called in, right?
Yep. Yep.
And,
yep.
And the timing was
because
perfect.
Rob, the thing you want to see, you haven't called in so long. It's a good thing I remember your voice, right?
Yeah.
So I know who you are. So you want to cook during this time, which would be fine, except that you simultaneously get beaten up for it. There's a should, right?
Yes.
So it's not a clean. This is really what I want. I mean, I doubt that it would ever be the case that the heart would want to cook during a very specific time that precludes your participating with your awareness practice. However, if it didn't come with a of you're doing it wrong, then that would be one thing. But that little you should and you're not tells us, time to let that one go.
Yeah, I have to admit I have a little trouble grasping that because I still hear, well, you should do it the right, the quote unquote right way, but but you know, well, this is what I've been doing and I don't know, I guess part of me thinks it's okay. I guess I do think it's okay.
Well. It depends on who you're listening to.
Yes.
Right? So it would, again, it would be okay, except it comes with a self-hate message. Yes, it's fine that you cook during this time, and oh, by the way, it makes you the wrong person. And so one of the things that can be very fun to do, because this is a half-hour show, right? So it's not exactly like you would be required to starve to death if you didn't cook between 12 and 12:30. One of the ways that we can really flummox that voice is to say, you're right. You're right. That is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit down and give my full attention to the program, and then I'm going to get up and cook. That way I have everything that I enjoy right there in one little segment of my day. And just watch it go to another thing that you're doing wrong.
Yes, yes. Well, it's funny. I have learned I can't just do anything while I'm listening to the radio show. But cooking for me is something that I actually don't like doing. But when I turn on the radio show, I'm like, what's the big deal? I don't know how to explain it. So it's always... It's like it's easier to do, and so that's why I tend to do it. And I'm sure there's a conditioning component to that, but it actually does make it seems to work for me. I don't know. Anyway, obviously I'm still struggling with the whole thing.
That's right. That's right. And when it really does work for you, you won't struggle with it. And to me, the most important part of it is you're looking at it, you're watching it, you're seeing it. Right, and as you're seeing it, you will figure out ways to do it that really honestly do work for you. Not that you get talked into, well, I do like that, and then you get this zap of self-hate because liking to do it that way, this might be a familiar process, okay? You like to do something, and it makes you the wrong person. That's
yes.
a huge bamboozle to catch on to and just see how often that's the case. Yeah, this is what I want to do, and it makes me the wrong person.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oddly enough, I called because of two other things, actually, that I thought about that have been tossing around in my head. One was you had we just talked earlier about, you know, actually a child can see a parent when a parent is doing their best, right? They're probably not going to do it perfectly. And that can be a good thing for the child to see that.
Excellent thing.
And
because then when we grow up, we don't think we're going to be these perfected people. And we don't have, the child doesn't have to hit adolescence and go, oh, this is a load of something.
Right.
Because that is not a perfect person.
Right, right. Well, I had something that happened to me at the monastery, which I definitely feel like I shouldn't mention, so I guess I will. And it has to do with my relationship with you. It's very easy for me to see you as an authority figure. And then, I've been with you enough to realize there's some things that maybe you said or you did, and I thought, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't seem matching with what we're taught, right? And the amazing thing is it's like that made me love you all that much more. I'm not sure if I loved you until that happened. Because you're like, oh, my gosh, she's a real person. You know, she is not this whatever, you know. She's not this
uh-huh.
object for this idea. Sherry is a real
uh-huh.
person. And
uh-huh.
and then it's like the love is
deeply
so much
flawed, deeply flawed, Rob, and happy to tell you about it.
And happy, and I'm happy to know that. Because if you don't have flaws, then I'm, you know, then you have some, you're just this unattainable thing that, you know, well, Sherry can do it. Well, it doesn't matter because she's like this, you know, perfect person. But to see you as a real person, I mean, honestly, really, it's just like, it makes my love so much greater for you. And I just had to mention that because, I don't know, it's just the opposite of what we're taught, right? It's the opposite of what society teaches us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you're supposed to, there are authority figures, they're meant to be perfect, and then we're meant to find out they're not, and then we hate them because they're hypocrites. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in practice, we want to do it a very, very different way, right? Because there's just no sense in that other avenue. Just leads to more suffering. And we're really trying as folks to have less suffering, not more suffering. So. Yeah. Good.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you said something.
Okay. Well, good. Is it okay if
good.
I mention one other thing?
Well, it would be, except we're out of time.
Is it? No, really?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, 12, yeah, yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Okay.
See,
well,
it
then,
flies.
Well,
yeah, there'd be plenty of time for you to cook after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call me again and mention it, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks,
time. Rob.
Thanks, Ashwin.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. And that brings us to the end of another great show, Sherry. And our assignment today is a clarification question on the previous question. What do you really need in order to be happy?
let's just break this down now. What do you really need? All right, very good.
And the emphasis is actually on the really, and in the previous question, the emphasis was on need. So it's interesting.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And
go happy, please.
And we'll talk to everybody
tomorrow. Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.